Hello, everybody. Welcome to our podcast series entitled The Wealth Journey. We're now in that latter phase of life, which can be scary or extremely exciting, depending on who you are. And that's that retirement phase. I want to introduce JK. He's the head of our business down here in Cape Town, wealth manager technically also, and a director at Citadel.
I have been at Citadel for 24 years. The business has been going for 32 years, so not there quite from the start. Engaging with many of our clients over the years itself, and not having formally retired myself, so considered as an expert in the space, have probably enough anecdotal experience of what is an incredibly exciting next chapter of life for many, but in daunting in some respect as well. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I want to talk about, as a segue here, the three phases of retirement.
In the lead up to retirement, there are a lot of thoughts that are going through your mind, and a lot of, you know, of what life could look like sort of stepping out of work. And I think what most people look forward to in many regards is a new sense of freedom, a new identity in many respects, and a blank piece of paper to try and sort of craft or sculpt what they want to live the rest of their lives for. And we as Citadel have always said, you know, you need to be quite conscious about this, you know, and a lot of living is by design. There's a certain randomness to life, but you want to design what that could look like. And so to answer your question more directly, as you're going into retirement, you obviously have a lot more time. If you talk about the three phases, is you will be very active or a lot more active because you've got time on your side. And so there's an active phase to retirement. As we get older, we become a little bit more passive, and there's a passive phase to retirement. And then at some point in time, there's a good chance that we're assisted in some way or supported in some way. And we might move into be supported by family. We might be supported in lifestyle villages or centers or frail care or along those lines. So, you know, I think the thought process about embracing retirement is, how do I want to live when I'm active and can be active and I'm mobile, when I'm more passive, and so on and so forth.
So how do you even sort of gauge that conversation with someone in thinking about that shift into retirement?
It's quite difficult to express fears or things that you're worried about in open forums. So you've got to create the opportunity to understand what the hopes and the desires and the dreams are and how you put that to effect. What we're very good at is, if you talk about living by design, that has financial consequences to it. If I want to travel, if I want to have this kind of medical attention, if I want to have this kind of lifestyle, home, shelter, things like that, you effectively have to put numbers to that. Yeah. And build a roadmap for the long term, you know, and as life shifts between active and passive and supported or assisted, that has financial implications to it. And so those conversations should take place, if we're good at what we do, well in advance of retirement, you know, and in the years leading up. And that's so when the client is going into retirement, they well understand what the plan and the strategy should look like, and we are able to execute on it.
We've talked about in the episodes prior about a type of person who doesn't necessarily want to be intermediated, maybe hasn't been, thinks they could sort of go it alone to a certain extent. This latter phase of life where things are very sophisticated, changing quite quickly, what would you say to that person in terms of the advice needed to help plan this next phase of life?
You need to be able to talk to somebody. That doesn't necessarily mean to be an advisor, but you need to be able to articulate your thinking and your thoughts and bounce ideas off people, and somebody that you trust, and somebody that can be objective, and somebody that can walk the journey with them. Because we change, and our thoughts change, and our thinking changes, and we might start to doubt ourselves, or we might start to be unsure, or we might start to think, if something happened to me, who's going to look after the surviving spouse or advise the surviving spouse? There's so many different facets to it. So whilst, of course, expect me to say that we believe a Citadel advisor should be involved in that relationship in one shape, form or another, one step back, who can be objective? Who can challenge me? Who can you know, educate me? Who you know, all of those sort of things become much more important because you've got time on your sides.
There's a person who's potentially sort of on the fringes of thinking about this phases of life conversation and thinking about retirement, but they've never been intermediated before in any form, no advisor, no wealth manager. Can that person still benefit from a wealth manager, even though they've never had one before? Is it almost too late to consult a manager at this phase?
It is never too late to engage with somebody that you can bounce ideas off or get a independent opinion as such. I think we've always embraced a sort of a thought process in the team to say it's not never. I never want an advisor. It might be I don't want it or need an advisor now. Yeah. I don't need a wealth manager now. But just in our experience, you know, as time passes on, eventually you start to look for it. What happens? You want to consolidate in life. You want to simplify your affairs. So whilst we all at a stage of life where, you know, children and careers and business, you know, and so life becomes quite messy, becomes extremely busy, and you don't always have the ability to consolidate and simplify. You're normally adding. You go through a process in retirement where you start to deduct. I want to consolidate. I want to simplify. I need somebody to take care of that administration. And let's flesh that out, because there's a financial answer or connotation to what I'm saying. There's an investment connotation to what I'm saying or consequence. And there's a fiduciary estate planning. Because a key part of understanding retirement is that it has a natural end to it. And we always say to our clients, longevity is on your side, or it's becoming a bigger narrative or theme. You're going to live longer. So we are now planning for clients to live to age 95 and beyond. I think somebody will always require or always have financial questions or investment questions or fiduciary stroke estate planning questions, and whether they face that in their 60s or 65s or 70s, at some point in time, those questions need to be answered.
So we were talking about the cash flow process and budgeting and saving towards a certain retirement goal, but now you have this, let's call it a lump sum of money, and the conversation now changed from saving to spending. So how do you frame that conversation, and what does that conversation look like for a client?
It's scary, I suspect. Not there yet, but enough experience in it, that when you stop earning a salary at the end of the month or some form of regular income through your own endeavors, through business or careers, and now to your point exactly, that I now am drawing down on savings. Your key questions of how should I draw down on these savings, how much every year, how long will this last, so on and so forth. It's quite a scary sort of, if I can call it, analysis to do. But at the same token, it's probably the most liberating and most exciting time to do it. Now, I wouldn't leave it up just to retirement day to do this. But effectively, if you come back to that first question that you asked around life, is you have this active phase, you then become more passive, and then you become more supported potentially, is that there's a spending pattern to that. In my active phase, I'm more mobile. I may want to travel. There are hobbies that I want to do. There's certain things that I want to use this time for. I might want to take children on holidays, potentially, or grandchildren on holidays. So what we try and do is we ask the questions that start to narrow that down in those three distinct phases and put a cash flow plan to it. Now, cash flow is I want money in my bank account at the end of each month to pay the bills that I know that I have. Now, that is an incredible analysis or exercise to do, because it gives you certainty. It gives you a budgeting plan. Not everybody is a great budgeter. So the advisor's responsibility in of itself is to put a budget together and to match that budget with a cash flow that comes in regularly every month or on an ad hoc basis when new cars need to be replaced or potentially weddings need to be paid for or there's travel costs, etc. And to map that out. It's a time to spend and enjoy your money. And as bizarre it is, sometimes we've got to say to a client, you need to hold back a little bit on the spending pattern. And other times you say to a client, please spend it. And it's important to understand that retirement allows you to enjoy your money responsibly through three very distinct phases, and that you can map that out and you can answer to the client, all things being equal, with a margin of safety. If you sort of bring those cash flows forward, you create a present value of those future cash flows. That number will tell you, have I got enough? Or don't I have enough? Do I have more than enough? If I don't have enough, what do I cut in my budgeting plan? And so it is much more clinical, much more objective than I believe most people can do themselves.
And I don't think people realize how clinical the process is, because they assume that you can't put numbers to things that are going to happen in the future. But having seen the process in work, it does make a hell of a lot of sense to be able to get hard numbers on things.
It does. And look, we've got experience in this regard, because in terms of mapping out a long-term cash flow projection, it's very difficult to say to somebody, tell me how you're going to live in your 2030s or your 2040s. Now, if you're retiring today and you're living to another, you know, to 95, so let's assume you're 65, you've got 30 years ahead of you. You're potentially living into your 2050s. So to ask somebody about the 2040s and the 2050s, it's very, very difficult. But you can say, how are you living today? Yes. And how do you want to live? What about today has bearing on how you want to live in the future? And that you can start to build into analysis by saying, what is key to retirees is that their cost of living, which let's assume matches inflation, is maintained. And so you can take inflation to those numbers and map inflation on those numbers. But then you can pull it a little bit more sort of broadly. Where are your children going to live? Where do you think you may want to retire to? Are you going to stay in the current home that you're in? How often are you going to replace your cars? What are your hobbies? What are your medical, you know, what is your medical cover at the moment? Are you wanting to maintain at that medical level and create a buffer to it? Who do you think may be dependent on you? You can map this out so broadly and then become quite clinical with it. Yeah. And that is the beauty of engaging with Citadel and the advice team, that when the opportunity comes to do this work, and hopefully with a long enough runway, we can then say, we think this is the best way to fly into retirement on your terms and the way that you want to do it.
It's so nuanced and so unique to each individual. This is nuanced around everything related to expenses and income, assets and liabilities.
It is. One level above that, it's everything related around relationships. Because what makes many of us fragile in our regard is relationships. Whether it is interspousal relationships, the relationships with children, the relationships potentially with grandchildren, children, siblings, friendships, so on and so forth. So I think it's quite difficult to build a financial investment and fiduciary plan for somebody into retirement without understanding that as an outline. If you can understand that as an outline, then you can pull all the other segments together and be quite comprehensive about it. And I think, you know, a retirement plan in many respects is your long-term strategy. But because it's long-term doesn't mean that it's not revisited. So if you're not looking at this every 12 to 24 months as a sanity check to see, this is what I thought, this is how we planned it, and sort of just seeing, you know, are we on track? It is an incredibly exciting time of life to plan for that third age, to live well, to have time on your side, to invest in all the things that are not necessarily just money-orientated, but the things that give you joy. And so I think what one does need to do in the lead up to retirement and then throughout retirement is, do I have enough? How much is enough? Could I spend more? Do I need a cut back? Am I on track? I mean, let's be honest. None of us like turbulence, but you like turbulence a lot less in your 60s and 70s and 80s.
What's your engagement with clients when it comes to legacy in the context of their retirement?
The answer to legacy is different for different people. And I think there's probably two aspects to it. There's probably more, but the two aspects that come to mind now is, do I want to leave a legacy while I'm alive? And what's my legacy when I'm no longer alive? Leaving a legacy while I'm alive, and a legacy doesn't always mean financial implications to it. Leaving a legacy, I think one of the aspects of retirement is, what's going to keep me busy? What's going to keep me informed? Have I got the opportunity to give back? Can I volunteer? Can I mentor? Yep. Can I get involved in charitable interests? That's leaving a legacy. Can I get involved in my family? Many people have worked their entire lives and spent, you know, potentially not enough time with their children. And now there's the opportunity for both parties to spend time with their grandchildren potentially. That's leaving a legacy. So it can be as narrow as, I want to leave a legacy in my family, to broader as in my community and beyond. Leaving a legacy is also, what happens when I pass? And who do I want to benefit from my estate? And how do I want them to benefit? And potentially there's an opportunity to say that this family sits with more than what they need. I think we've always encouraged clients that, you know, find a purpose, because if they're no longer involved in careers or the day-to-day life of running a family, so to speak, they've got time. So where can they volunteer? Where can they get involved? And that's a legacy.
If you have a client, okay, if it's clear they don't have enough when they retire, what does that conversation look like for you?
Do you need to shape behavior over a series of conversations, over a series of time period, to be able to self-correct the trajectory of that financial plan or that financial analysis? Sometimes that's a little bit clinical, right up front, and say, we have to do this right now. Or sometimes it's, we need to make these amendments over the course of the next 5 to 10 years. So it often results in that there's a potential adjustment to a lifestyle, which brings ego into play. And so you'll address that and say, how are we going to change this slightly? Does that mean that we don't buy a new car every 5 years, but every 7 years or every 10 years? The answer cannot be, we need to generate more investment returns, because that takes risk on board. We would rather look at the analysis and say, what can we adjust through the course of time that changes that? And you build scenarios around that. And so it is a conversation that should be had, needs to be had, but delivered in such a way that is right for the client. If you're a true advisor, your job is to be able to say, look, this is what it shows on the analysis, and this is what we think can be done. And you can sort of build from there.
But if you want to leave the listener, the viewer, with something relating to our conversation, what do you think that would be?
Those that, you know, that remain flexible in their thinking and flexible in their bodies, flexible in psychology, they typically strike us to be in a better position, in a better space. Now, it's easier said than done. But I think retirement gives, in many respects, one of the few opportunities in life to have a blankish piece of paper or a blank canvas to put a framework down, and that you can start to reconstruct or design something that this is how you want to live. But if you live by design and you expect the unexpected and you have a framework in place to protect yourself from that, then what an exciting next 30, 40 years we have ahead of us.
We want to engage with you. So if you've had thoughts, comments, ideas, anything related to this conversation, reach out to us. So citadel.co.za.